This is Molly Gamble, Editor-in-Chief of Becker's Hospital Review. Today I'm pleased to be joined by Jason Burke and Dr. Gordon Moore. Jason serves as the Vice President of Data Informations at 3M Health Information Systems, and Dr. Moore is the Senior Medical Director at 3M Health Information Systems, specifically with the Clinical Strategy and Value-Based Care Health Data Science Group. Today we'll be discussing value-based care and data analytics. So Jason, Dr. Moore, thank you for taking the time to speak with me to share your expertise with our readers.
Thank you.
So to get the conversation started, I'm curious to hear what the biggest challenges and opportunities you see facing providers and payers as they evolve to value-based care. Jason, can you tell us a little bit about what you're seeing?
I'll start with the opportunities. I think that we're all seeing the tremendous value in this shift to being able to reduce costs and drive better quality of care with patients. We're seeing more collaboration with providers and payers around sharing data, although it's slow, but we're seeing a move to being more actively engaged and working together to drive improved quality and improve communication between those organizations. I would say some of the biggest challenges that we're seeing is that the ability to build that longitudinal view of all the patient's care and connect, you know, the care setting for each patient across multiple care settings is a huge challenge for us. And then technology advancements, they are helping, but also are creating a lot of noise in the industry. And with that noise, you know, there's a lot of investments that have been made, and a lot of effort that really hasn't proven out the value yet. So as we see technology improve and companies getting better at what we're doing to look at a population at scale, we'll see the value improve as the industry moves to value-based care.
Great. Thanks, Jason. And Dr. Moore, do you have anything, are you seeing anything different from your colleague or anything you want to add?
Yeah, I think he's right on. I think some of the challenges right now are the expanding cost of care per capita basis in the U.S. is creating a lot of pressure to reduce unnecessary costs. And to do that, we want to improve healthcare quality so that unnecessary costs are washed out and not the necessary things that help people. The big conundrum in that is that it requires us in healthcare to think about the work we're doing and to measure what we're doing and to be very careful that we're focusing on the right thing and doing less of the unnecessary or the wrong thing for people. And that creates an immense burden of measurement and tracking. And there's so many things that happen in a typical interaction between a patient and a physician and a healthcare system that we can track many, many things. And so we're swimming in oceans of data. And that's one of our biggest challenges is figuring out of all this information, what's important? What do we need to focus on? And we need to be very careful to spend our limited time and resources on improvement on those things that have the greatest potential for getting us to the goals that we need.
Okay, great. And you mentioned there the immense burden of measurement. I know we're going to unpack that a little bit more in the questions to come. But you know what? One thing I want to go back to is, Jason, you did mention technology, how it's evolving, how we're going to see the value of it improve. Dr. Moore, this question's for both of you, but Dr. Moore, maybe you can start. And I'm curious about the role of data analytics in value-based care. And if the tools available today are sufficient, or if you spot gaps and room for improvement in what's available to providers.
The first part of opportunity, I think, for data analytics is to help us find the needle in the haystack, help us find the pathway that's most likely to be fruitful so that we spend, again, our time and resources on things that are going to improve outcomes and shed unnecessary costs. So, for instance, being able to take an ocean of information from a health plan and to risk adjust the illness burden of each person and for the population and use those data, for instance, to identify segments of a population who are at extraordinary risk. Defining risk, identifying those populations, that's where data analytics weigh in and can be really helpful when we back up the machines and the algorithms with expertise, with research, with evidence, so that we can guide learning and know where to look and know what to make of the results when we get them back. I think about the tools that we have right now, and I have this sense of being on the cusp of an evolution in the way that we understand data in healthcare. We've seen this in other industries. Healthcare has been I think in many ways appropriately slow in adopting technologies because we want to make sure that they're useful and appropriate for the people we serve. But we're now beginning to look into artificial intelligence, to natural language processing, to using, you know, vast data algorithms to find multiple opportunities and to sort an inhuman number of variables. That's coming to bear now in healthcare, and that's going to be a huge improvement over what we've had in the past, where the technologies have been quite insufficient to the needs, where we're choking clinicians in practice with sometimes minutia or asking them to chase down things that don't add necessarily a lot of value. So technology has been challenged, but I think we're on the cusp of a revolution here.
I would agree with Dr. Moore. He nailed it. To add to it, I would say that we are seeing a race in the industry, and there's many players that are running. Organizations, specifically on the provider side, are looking for a one-size-fits-all analytic solution that will cover all of their population. And I personally don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. Organizations are very unique in their different stages, the way they deliver care and their sophistication. And I think that requires whatever solutions are going to win in the market or do a best job at surfacing the right information at the right time are going to be those that have both the clinical knowledge and expertise married with technology. That's one of the challenges we're seeing some of the new players in the market jumping in, and they're taking just one of those approaches, mainly because they don't have the expertise on one or the other side, clinical versus technology. But I think Dr. Moore's right on. We are on the cusp of seeing some pretty incredible things over the next probably 10 to 20 years that are going to radically change healthcare in general and change the way patients are engaged with their healthcare providers.
I think that answers that question perfectly. So it's not so much that there are gaps or room for improvement, but you think where we're headed, the road, and not too far in the future. Dr. Moore, you highlighted a lot of exciting new forms of technology we're seeing. And then I think, Jason, your comment too about, you know, not a one-size-fits-all solution, but one that is really has clinical expertise and then top technology is what is most sought after. You know, I'm curious too, because you mentioned the vast amount of metrics and information and data points that are in living in hospitals and health systems. For our listeners, are there a few key metrics that you suggest every leader really has to understand or monitor to really be succeeding under value-based care?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because there's the traditional cost and quality and areas that length of stay, things that people traditionally are measuring today. I think what's going to change is that the way that the organizations will have to be able to view data will have to be much more, I would say, rich in terms of marrying both the clinical information and financial information to be able to get a true view of what the cost of care is and also what the cost of care associated with quality levels that they can provide to patients. That entails being able to surface how do they resolve preventable events. For example, how do they identify waste issues and areas of biggest opportunity to remove that waste, to reduce costs and improve quality? And then also, what metrics are they going to share between their payer partners on the provider side and on the payers to ensure that they're accurately looking at each patient and each population in the same way, which I think also lends itself to having metrics to identify what true best practices are by service, by patient, by population, and including all of that data, you know, socio-determinant data, to really truly be able to quantify the issues associated with that patient's problem. On the financial side, I think that's going to be the biggest challenge, is being able to measure those true costs and how it's linked at a patient level and at a population level across both the payers and providers, to be able to understand what that true revenue cycle is from beginning to end in both cycles, to make sure that both organizations understand how much it's costing them to treat the patient and how much the waste associated with each patient is costing them to help improve their expenses, but also to identify how they can improve care to reduce costs.
Thanks, Jason. Dr. Moore, are there any metrics that you would add to those that Jason shared with us?
Yeah, there's one thing that may be new to some hospital leaders, which is the concept of the total cost of care for an individual, for a population. as health systems enter into value-based contracts, some of those contracts may have a specific goal or set of goals around the total cost of care, and that may drive some improvements or some opportunities that could be counterintuitive. So for instance, if there's the total medical expenditure across the entire population, no matter where they experience care, is built into the contract, then an analysis of patient flow for certain types of events may unmask an opportunity to reduce hospital admissions in the emergency department by creating, for instance, a migraine clinic or working more aggressively in primary care practices with high-risk individuals through case management and care management. Those might be counterintuitive initially, but you start to see the value of that when you look at the total cost of care as a key metric. And that also gets at one of the issues in why data analytics is so important, because there are so many more variables now at play as you think about value-based contracting and so many different opportunities for intervention, and that we want as much as possible to have a data-driven decision about where to focus time and effort. A lot of health system leaders have been thinking about how to reduce unnecessary hospital readmissions within 30 days, but then there may be certain subpopulations where there's a much greater opportunity, and that may have to do with certain post-acute facilities, that may have to do with certain rehabilitation efforts that could be in the hospital as well as at the home. So there's so many different things to juggle. That's one of the opportunities of having fast data algorithms where clinicians can guide the algorithm build that could then feed back intelligent information with a prioritized list where a health system leader could look at that and say, okay, under this contract with those specific goals, these are the most important things that we can do in the next year, in the next 3 years.
I want to work in something we were talking a little bit earlier about, which is artificial intelligence. Dr. Moore, you mentioned that. And since we're talking about value-based care measurement and management, how do you see artificial intelligence and big data accelerating or expanding capabilities around these core duties facing providers right now?
I'll touch on one part of that, which is one aspect of artificial intelligence, the concept of, or the school of work around natural language processing. So right now, the typical EMR approach to solving the quality measurement problem is to create structured data fields and to ask that the clinicians use a pull-down menu or put in structured data so that we can make sure in the EMR to capture all those elements and then can report them out to CMS or to a health plan or some other regulatory entity that wants these data. That's a lot of work. That's extra work for the clinicians. And there, I think, is quite a reasonable amount of pushback to say, this is consuming so much of my time that it's actually taking time away from the patient care delivery. That is why it got into healthcare in the first place. Natural language processing can solve that problem a different way. So doctor may come out of the operating room and dictate a post-operative note, and in that dictation, mention those things that happened that are key quality indicators or required for those quality indicators. The typical dictated note is in the form of text that's not readable by machines, so that's unstructured data. Natural language processing can open up that unstructured data and structure those data and make it accessible to machines for learning and for work. So we can take that dictated note, no longer is it lost in terms of what we need to do for data reporting, it now becomes part of the information stream. So that's a huge advancement in terms of artificial intelligence being applied through the work of natural language processing so that we can then turn to assertion and say, use a dictation. I know it's immensely easier for you in terms of workflow, and you can get right back into your next case rather than sitting there playing with a dictation service and trying to clean up information.
That's a great example. Jason, do you have another example of artificial intelligence being leveraged or deployed for value-based care measurement and management aside from natural language process, or anything else to add to that question?
At 3M, we have a lot of experience with natural language processing, but also we have a partnership right now where we're using or starting to use machine learning and artificial intelligence to start mining through that clinical information to surface the relevant key factors associated with the care an issue like preventable admissions, readmission issues. And I would just say that I believe 100% that NLP, machine learning AI, is the future of technologies where healthcare is going to go and where we're going to start seeing some big bang changes that are going to fast track our ability to move to value-based care. I will say, though, that our experience has proven out that before you can really truly get the value out of machine learning and artificial intelligence, you have to start with a good foundation. And that foundation has to be built on knowledge experts in all categories in healthcare, so clinical, financial, that are building that foundation of knowledge to be able to first develop a way to define a best practice and a use case that the machine learning AI engine is going to go after to improve based on getting massive amounts of data to process it with. So some of the challenges that we've seen with the use of machine learning and AI in the industry is that if you take a pure data science view of the practice of those technologies, what happens is you get a lot of false positive results and you have no way to validate those results very quickly and easily. So what we've tried to do is start with a rules approach where we can build a set of rules that we're looking for that we know we're going to have the right outcome. And then add on top of that the artificial intelligence models to be able to then start learning from that foundation, because it now can look at what the right answer is, build on top of that with added data. So it will take some time to perfect it for sure. But as we get access to massive more data, more intelligence, and more intelligent data that is actually connected with meaning, we're going to see the technology start fast-tracking very soon.
Great, Jason. I think you just led me perfectly to the next question I had for you. You know, you mentioned before you can get value from AI, you really need to start with a good foundation. Obviously, measuring value-based care is a major investment for any hospital or health system. I would be curious to hear some parting words from you two about how organizations can get or stay ahead of these demands of measuring and managing care under this new payment model. So Jason, maybe you can start that off for us.
I think that some of the challenges we have to make the shift are related to the massive amount or the hundreds of different approaches to risk adjust data. And there's so many organizations that are building a better mousetrap and they're going about it a very different way, whether it's a statistical model, a clinical model, whatever it is. The issue that I see is that without having a standard way to risk adjust information across the country, we don't have a true way to measure apples to apples quality, revenue, cost. It makes it very difficult to create that best practice. I believe that in the next 2 years, maybe 3 years, I think it's critical for providers, payers to pick their right partner that they want to go all in with. And it may be two or three, but it can't be a dozen partners that they believe are going to take them to be able to analyze the data, risk adjust the data, and get those deep insights into the information that you can truly take action on. Because I think, like Dr. Moore said, there's so much data out there, but it's almost paralyzing organizations because they either have to hire people to look at it or they're trying to get to look at it. But most organizations right now are not turning that into action. They're still in the analytics phase. And they're going to have to pick the right partners that they believe are going to help drive real meaningful action.
Thanks, Jason. And Dr. Moore, how about you? Any ideas on this for providers about how to get or stay ahead of the demands this puts on them?
It's important to think about, as an organization, as you're having to respond to all these external requirements for data, for quality metric, to create what I think about is like a semi-permeable membrane where you can ask internally that your clinical folks are focusing on the core things that they do that drive value, that provide the best care for the patients they're taking care of, and that you set up as an organization an infrastructure of information capture, analysis, and feed that both gives you the insights you need and responds to the external requirements. An example of that, for instance, is what I mentioned before around the idea of working, let's say, with a surgeon who just put in an implantable cardioverter defibrillator, for instance, and they come out, and rather than having them sit down at a computer and spend time doing data interface, get them back in with the next case, let them take care of patients, and do that by giving them the least invasive, least intrusive technology, like a dictation, which is then fed through voice recognition, which then goes into natural language processing. And then health systems can begin to appreciate that these systems enable improved productivity, not just from the clinician for quality data capture, but also, for instance, for the registrars who are working in hospitals who have to extract information around that implanted device to send that to the national registry. That can be automated to the point that the registrar is not a data hunt and seek person, but is an editor of information that is served up to them in an elegant manner so that they can very quickly say, yep, that's right, that's good, I agree, click, 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 and we're done. That sort of data-enabled, technology-enabled environment is what health system leaders should think about as they're answering the question, how are they going to respond to the quality and cost and value questions.
Well, I was just going to say, I'd like to make one other comment. I do think that providers and payers start building better relationships and look at it as a true partnership transition. And I think we're already seeing that happen. But I think that as we do that, we should be able to start seeing a lot of efficiencies that are gained in removing lots of back office processes that are happening today because of the challenges between payers and providers that have gone on in the past. I think those can be eliminated because in a value-based agreement, there is risk sharing, and they will need to be able to share more information together.
Great. Well, this has been a really interesting discussion. So thank you, Jason and Dr. Moore, for your time and insight today. To learn more about 3M Health Information Systems, please visit www.3m.com/3m/en_us/health-information-systems-us. If you have any feedback on this program or requests for future podcast topics, please email me at mgamble@beckershealthcare.com. And please make sure to regularly visit Becker's Hospital Review at www.beckershospitalreview.com for the latest business, legal, and clinical news and guidance for hospitals and health systems. Thank you for joining us.